So welcome to the seminar on five most potent forms of devotional service. Who can tell me one of the five most potent forms? One of the... Yes. Oh, we were just doing your... Sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah. Next one. Chanting. Yes. Okay. Chanting Hare Krishna. Another one?
Mathura Vasa.
Mathura Vasa. Very good. Are you from Mathura?
No.
Okay. Mathura Vasa, chanting Hare Krishna. And, yes?
Association with devotees.
Very good.
Deity worship.
And? We got chanting. One more. Yes. Yes, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Very good. So today we're going to concentrate on our japa today. We're going to have a three-part course today. The first part will be some simple rules for chanting. And the second part will be removing the obstacles to chanting purely. And the third part will be to meditate on Krishna's smiling face. And chanting with attraction. So it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita about these five most potent forms. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathuravasi Murtir Shadhai Sevan. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura and worship the deity with faith and veneration. Sakal Sadhan Shesta E Panch Anga Krishna Prema Janmai E Pancharalpa Sangha. These five limbs of devotional service are the best. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. So if you can just do one of these, just a little bit, you can get Krishna Prema. So to make advancement, we need a combination of our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. So in this seminar, we're going to be endeavoring. And it's not simply going to be endeavoring, but endeavoring with a prayerful attitude. Our endeavor will be to deepen our relationship with Krishna in five different ways. So today we are going to endeavor to deepen our relationship with Krishna in our chanting. Tomorrow we want to explore our relationship with Krishna through his Bhagavad Gita and other books, and try to deepen our relationship by having a prayerful attitude. And we're going to ask some questions, personal questions, to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tomorrow, and we will get our answers, our personal answers, each one of you. It'll be a bit of a mystic exercise tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to associate with Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee, explore that relationship, what each of us has a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and try to deepen that relationship and appreciate Srila Prabhupada. On Saturday morning, we're going to move to the temple room, and we're going to have a personal relationship with the deities. We're going to deepen our relationship with the deities by offering different personal prayers. Not someone else's prayers, but your own prayers, right in front of the deities, face to face. That will be Saturday morning at 10 to 12. And then Saturday night, we'll be entering Vrindavan Dham. I'm coming from Vrindavan, so I'll introduce you to some of the important personalities who reside in Vrindavan Dham, and we will try to also deepen our relationship with them. So our endeavor is very, very important to Krishna, but at the same time, our endeavor is not enough. We must have Krishna's mercy. So about 500 years ago, in Vrindavan, there was a sadhu, a devotee. He was living very simply in a hut. Now, in those days in Vrindavan, not nowadays, in those days there were tigers. They were roaming the forest of Vrindavan. And this devotee, he had a very small stick to protect himself from the tigers. Maybe like this. Or maybe a little bigger. He had a very small stick. So one time his friend came to stay overnight in his hut with him. And he said, he was hearing the tigers roaring, and he asked the sadhu, you know, I hear these tigers. Now, what are we going to do if a tiger comes over here? So he said, oh, I got my stick here. Don't worry. So his friend was a bit doubtful. about his stick. He said, yes, I will use this stick. I will endeavor my best, and Krishna will do the rest. So we will endeavor. We may have a very small stick. Our endeavor may not be that much, but Krishna will give us the rest. He will give us his mercy. Now, how can we have a very nice stick is depending upon our attitude. In Nectar of Instruction, it is said that everything is attitude. According to your attitude, you make advancement in spiritual life. So we will try to improve our attitude in chanting, in reading Prabhupada's books, in association with Srila Prabhupada, in our relationship with the deities, and in entering the Dham. So I have here a little excerpt from the last retreat in Varshana with Sachinandan Swami. Hare Krishna, welcome. And he says, our whole spiritual life depends on discovering our relationship with Krishna. Now, how many of you want to have a relationship with Krishna? Yes, very, very good. Why? Why do you want to have a relationship with Krishna? Who can say? Yeah?
He's very nice.
He's nice. Okay. Why else? Why do you want to have a relationship with Krishna? Ah, it's eternal. Very good. Yes. We have so many relationships in this world, but they're all temporary. They're all temporary. Very good reason. Okay, that relationship is eternal. What's another reason why we want to have a relationship with Krishna?
It's the most
satisfying.
Huh? It's the most satisfying.
It's the most satisfying. Okay. Yeah, that's another good reason. Only he can satisfy our deep desire for love. Okay. So if we have our knowledge of relationship with Krishna, this will give birth to love of Krishna. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we must think of Krishna as well as when we chant. If we think of Krishna while we chant, then we will actually develop love for him. We shouldn't talk business with Krishna. We should talk relationship. When we chant, we shouldn't think, okay, I need this, I need that, and it would be nice if you could help me out a little bit, Krishna, with these things. No, we should chant in relationship. So every day when you chant your japa, you can ask yourself the question, were you chanting connected rounds, connected with Krishna, or were you chanting divorced rounds, divorced from Krishna, disconnected from Krishna? So this is, today we want to chant very connected realms with Krishna. So I hope you all brought your japa beads because we're going to be doing a lot of work on our japa today. About 4 different exercises. Now before we start our japa, we're going to sing a prayer to the holy name. It's Kevala Ashtakam. How many of you know this prayer? Nobody. Okay, anyway, you'll learn it. So, great. You can pass these out. So I think there's enough copies for everyone. This prayer is based on a famous verse found in the Upanishads. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. Hello, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. I think there's enough for everyone. Everyone can get a copy. Okay, who doesn't have a copy? Raise your hand. For this one, there's enough, but for some of the other things, there may not be enough. So, but anyway, to this. Okay, so I'll say one line, and then you repeat after me. Mataram Matarebhyo Pi
Mataram Matarebhyo Pi
Mangalebhyo Pi Mangalam
Mangalebhyo Pi Mangalam
Bhavanam Bhavanebhyo Pi
Bhavanam Bhavanebhyo Pi
Hari Nama Eva Kevalam
Hari Nama Eva Kevalam
More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Abrahmastamba Paryantam.
Abrahmastamba Paryantam.
Sarvam Mayamayam Jagat.
Sarvam Mayamayam Jagat.
Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam.
Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam.
Hari Nam Eva Kevalam.
Hari Nam Eva Kevalam.
The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I say, reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone, is everything. Saguru Sapita Chapi.
Saguru Sapita Chapi.
Samata Bandhava Pisa.
Samata Bandhava Pisa.
Sikshayet Chet Sada Smartam.
Hari Nam Eva Kevalam.
That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Ishase Nahi Vishwasa.
Ishase Nahi Vishwasa.
Kadaruto Pavishati.
Kadaruto Pavishati.
Kirtaniyamato Bayat.
Kirtaniyamato Bayat.
Hari Nami Vakevalam.
Hari Nami Vakevalam.
There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Here you go. Yeah, you can give the ones. Hari Sadavase Tatra.
Hari Sadavase Tatra.
Yatra Bhagavata Jana.
Yatra Bhagavata Jana.
Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena.
Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena.
Hari Nam Eva Kevalam.
Hari Nam Eva Kevalam.
Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Aho dukkham maha dukkham.
Aho dukkham maha dukkham.
Dukkha dukkha taram yata.
Dukkha dukkha taram yata.
Achartam visritam ratna.
Achartam visritam ratna.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
Aho, what a sorrow. What a great sorrow. More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass. The people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Diyatam diyatam karna.
Diyatam diyatam karna.
Niyatam niyatam vacha.
Niyatam niyatam vacha.
Giyatam giyatam nityam.
Giyatam giyatam nityam.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Srinikritya jagat sarvam.
Srinikritya jagat sarvam.
Rajate sakalopari.
Rajate sakalopari.
Chidanandamayam shirtam.
Chidanandamayam shirtam.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
Hari nam eva kevalam.
It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. Holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So I want to discuss a few of these verses. The second verse, the only thing that is reality is the holy name. So how is the only reality the holy name of Krishna? How can it be the only reality? I mean, there's so many other things in this world. You have a job, perhaps, a family. You have your body. You have so many things. So how can it be the holy name is the only reality? How can this possibly be? Who can tell me? Yes.
The meaning of the holy name is essentially the Lord Krishna is engaged in your service.
Right.
That is the basic sambandha.
Okay. Right. So the basic, our basic relationship is with Krishna. So therefore, the holy name is Krishna. So when we chant the holy name, we're experiencing our relationship with Krishna. And that is the only reality because, as we said before, it's eternal. And it's satisfying. And we never lose it. Okay? Let's go to verse 5. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted, spiritually advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. So did anybody go to this 12-hour, was it a 12-hour kirtan you had? So did you experience something like this when you were in that kirtan? How many of you experienced the presence of Lord Krishna in that kirtan? Yes. So this is practical. When the devotees who are very ecstatically chanting the holy name and dancing, Lord Krishna appears and you can feel that presence. So how could you feel the presence of Krishna in that kirtan when you were chanting? What was the, yes?
Everyone was really happy and ecstatic.
Happy and ecstatic, okay, yes. When you connect with Krishna, you're very happy because he's always happy. So if you can connect with him in some way, then, and this is the Yuga Dharma, this is the Dharma for this age, Hari Nam Sankirtan, yes? You could hear the holy name for the first time. Yeah, how many years have you been chanting? 5 years. So you could hear the holy name. Yes. How else did somebody feel the presence of Krishna? That was last Sunday, I believe, yes? I just missed it. Okay. So when we chant, and we should also be having this experience when we chant our japa. It's a little bit more difficult because we're not in the group. Everybody together, it's like you yourself trying to reach Krishna or trying to make that phone call to Goloka Vrindavan. So sometimes the phone call goes through and Krishna answers, but he finds that the line is busy, engaged. The line is engaged. That means our mind is somewhere else. So we want to try and get that same experience that we had in kirtan that you had last Sunday. We want to have that same experience in chanting japa as well. Okay? So we can look here. Sanatana Goswami has given us some rules for chanting the holy name. And the verse goes, Mana sang haranam shokcham maunam mantrata chintanam avigatva manirpedo japa sampati hetava. So to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. The first one is mana sangharanam, bring the mind back. Control of the mind. So when we're chanting, our mind goes into so many places. Does anybody find that when you're chanting japa, the mind may think of other things besides japa? Yes. Yes, we don't want to mention. Just imagine if you had a loudspeaker and you put your mind on the loudspeaker and everybody could hear what you were thinking all the time. It would be maybe very interesting, but not very good for people to hear. So we need to bring the mind back. We need to catch the mind. That is the function of the intelligence, is to, when we are chanting, to catch the mind and bring it back to the sound of the holy name. And how to actually, what will help you is shocham, or purity. So Satchinanda Swami has a few comments on this. What is shocham? So I'll read to you what he says. Purity is important. One should realize when he sits down to chant, everything comes up. All the movies he saw, all the mundane literature we read, and all the furtive glances thrown at the opposite gender. It is like watching an uncoordinated, disturbing home-cut movie in the mind. Anybody have that experience? Yeah, myself, my movie is more like I'm traveling all over the world, and so my mind is going ahead to the next place already, like what I'm going to be doing in Europe and in Nepal and all these places. But here I'm in Australia, and I should be hearing Krishna's name, but unfortunately it's somewhere else. So he says, well, it's obvious it's easier to sit down and chant or read when one is free of dust, sweat, and mud. Not everyone is sufficiently aware the dust, sweat, and mud of the mind are even more contaminating. So one time, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, it's, I think before I was a devotee, I had so many good qualities. And now I became a devotee, it seems like there's so much dirt that I was not aware of. I don't have such good qualities as I thought I did. So why is this? So Srila Prabhupada answered, when you chant your japa, it's just like you have a dirty house. Now suppose you have a dirty house and all the dust is collected on the floor and in the corners and on the windows. So what happens when you start cleaning the house? The dust starts to fly in the air. And you start, oh my God, I didn't know there was so much dust there. So when we start chanting japa, all the dust in our heart from millions of births starts flying. And we find some dust that we didn't even see before. And so we just have to be patient, and that is going on here. Well, in the third line. We'll go to the second line, and that is silence. So silence does not mean that you stop chanting. Silence, what does silence mean actually? What has to be silent?
No prajapa,
very good. Hopefully not when you're chanting. So when you're chanting, what has to be silent? Should we chant silently? Should the tongue be silent? No. It's the mind that has to be silent. Now, the mind cannot be silent. It has to think of something. So what we're going to think of is mantrartha chintanam, meditating on the meaning of the mantra. And that will be our practice today. We want to bring our mind back and give our mind something to do, and that will be, while we're chanting, to have the mood of, please engage me in your service. This is the meaning of the mantra. It's not just words. It's not just sounds. It's the names of Krishna. And they're meant to be chanted while we're thinking of him and while we're trying to make a relationship with him. So our relationship with Krishna is service. We want to be in service with Krishna. So we're going to be practicing this today, the second line. Now, how many of you have been on retreats with Burijan Prabhu? Anywhere? Yeah. So you know all about hearing only one mantra at a time. Have you practiced that before? That is actually line one. That is bringing the mind back just to hearing the mantra. So we're going to go to line two today. We're going to be meditating, bringing the mind back to the meaning of the mantra. Now, don't be surprised if you start chanting like this and then you start getting some service, because that's the meaning of Hare Krishna. And the more you chant, the more service you'll get. If you chant 64 rounds a day, it won't be for long, because you'll be getting a lot of service. Four times. Usually we only chant 16. But if you chant 64, you'll get four times the service that you did when you were chanting 16. But don't worry. You'll be able to handle it. So the last two qualities, avyagatvam, and yes, so how we silence the mind is by meditating on the meaning of the mantra. And avyagatvam, patience, means you don't rush to finish your chanting. Don't worry. Krishna will give you enough time. Krishna is time, after all. And he will give you. You don't start chanting your Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. No, it is not good. You must be patient. And we must also be steadfast on your Veda. And that also means don't lose hope. Sometimes you may not chant the perfect round. You may not chant the perfect mantra. Or you may not even finish your rounds in the time you wanted to finish. But don't lose hope. The day will come when actually your mind will be your friend. At this point, we're experiencing anartha nirvritti. That means our mind is taking us away from Krishna usually. This is the beginning stage of devotional service. But when you advance after a few years, or maybe after a few lifetimes, you will get to asakti. And that's when your mind is your friend. And your mind will take you to Krishna. And you don't know how it goes there. And this is a wonderful way to go. So now we're going to practice a bit. Well, first let's discuss a bit about the meaning. Everybody knows the meaning of Hare Krishna mantra, right? Oh, Hare O Radharani. Okay, let's repeat. O Hare.
O Hare.
O Radharani.
O Radharani.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
Please engage me in your service.
Please engage me in your service.
So I can get relief.
So I can get relief.
From the service of Maya.
From the service of Maya.
So this is Prabhupada's translation of the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. He also explained right in the beginning the three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama, are seeds. And the chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His energy to give protection to the conditioned soul, like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. So we are all children of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that this is the way to chant. That we chant, he said, just like Lord Chaitanya, we chant, and he said, we have no other prayer than, please accept me. So that's a short version of, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. Please accept me, Krishna. Please accept me. So, Srila Prabhupada said we should cry and say, please accept me. Now, that might not be so easy. But there is one temple, one devotee, many years ago in Moscow. The practice was, you had to cry while you chant japa. So everybody, they would sit themselves in front of a picture of Krishna. Everybody would choose a picture in the temple. And they would chant and they would cry. And one devotee, he told me, he just joined the temple, and it took him about 3 days. But after 3 days, he was always chanting. He was also chanting and crying for Krishna. Now we shouldn't do this artificially. But actually, Prabhupada said that we have no other prayer than, please accept me. And Lord Chaitanya taught we should simply cry and pray to the Lord, please accept me. So in this mood, we want to chant the holy name. Now, there's a very interesting room conversation that Srila Prabhupada had, I believe, with Allen Ginsberg in 1969. And he said that everyone is thinking, oh, I have so many problems. We wake up in the morning and we think of all these problems to solve. Prabhupada said, we have no problem, only one problem. How to accept Krishna. So in our japa, that is our only problem. How to accept Krishna. Prabhupada said, Krishna is coming when we chant. He's coming. And he's saying, please accept me. Please accept me. So Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna comes. He says, please accept me. You chant my name and I'm yours. So Krishna is so merciful. Lord Chaitanya has given us Krishna in the form of the holy name. If we chant, Krishna is coming and he's asking, please accept me. And we should also chant. And we should think of Krishna and chant in this way, please accept me. So now in this mood, pick up your japa beads. And I would like you to bring your mind back to the meaning of the holy name. This is one practice in chanting japa. Hearing the holy name, that's perfect, if you can just hear the mantra perfectly. Now, an added dimension is your attitude when you chant. So now we will try to work on our attitude today in our chanting. And the first exercise, we will practice the attitude of just meditating on the meaning of the mantra when we chant. Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. You didn't pay. That's okay. You just chant like that. Oh, she has some extras. Just see. Krishna is so kind. Devotees are so kind. Okay, so we can chant for a few minutes. And in this mood, try to chant in this mood. And hopefully it will carry to your japa tomorrow. Please start. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shyada Vandikarana Shiva Sani Gokutama Hare Krishna 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 Much. So when you are chanting your japa in the morning, you try to remember the meaning of the holy name. And that will help you to connect with Krishna, to have a relationship with Krishna. So the second part of our seminar today, we're going to attempt to remove obstacles to our pure chanting. Now, the obstacles, the problems, why we cannot concentrate, the reason why we can't concentrate is because we have anarthas in our heart, different anarthas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita has explained how the demons in Krishna Leela represent certain anarthas or dirty things in our heart. Has anybody heard this before, how the demons represent different anarthas? So, I'll give you one example. So, before I give the example, I'd just like to say that Krishna, as he killed the demons in Vrindavan, he can also kill the demons of anarthas in our heart. So we're going to do an exercise, and this is also something you can do every day. You can, or sometimes when you feel the need, when you feel like there's a really heavy anartha, like lust or anger or one of these that you cannot overcome. And I'm going to give you an exercise that you can do that will help you to overcome this anartha. So one example is Putana demon. Everyone has heard of Putana. Putana. So she represents the anartha, or the dirty thing, of the false guru. There's two types of false gurus. One type is the guru who's outside and who's also cheating you. He's giving you some milk. He might give you some nice Krishna katha, but along with the milk is coming some poison. And that poison is material desire. He wants something from you, and you may also want something from him. So this is the anartha, or this is the dirty thing of the false guru. Now that's the first type of false guru. The second type of false guru is your own mind. Your own mind will say, oh, I know better. You don't need to concentrate on your chanting. There is something better we can do right now. There's something much nicer. We can eat, we can sleep, we can do so many things. Why do you want to chant? So your mind can also be a false guru. The mind can also tell you, it's too early to get up now. We should have a little bit more sleep. After all, you work very hard. So many things the mind can tell you. Don't go to the temple. It's better if we go out somewhere else and enjoy. Or we can just stay home and enjoy, if there is some enjoyment there, I don't know. But yes. So, this is the false guru Putana. And there's, I'll just tell you one more, Sakatashara. Sakatashara is the cart demon that Krishna killed when he was a very small baby. And this represents bad habits that we keep, like lethargy, dullness. It's a very old load, a very heavy load of old bad habits, new bad habits that we are carrying around with us. And also pride is a very heavy load. So this demon was killed by Krishna. And we can also ask Krishna to help us kill these demons in our heart. So we're going to sing one bhajan, and we're also going to discuss a little bit. This bhajan contains practically all the names of the demons that Krishna killed. And there's also an explanation. So this we'll have to share. There's not enough to go around. See, half and half. Okay. Somebody can give to the ladies. And then we have one more copy. One is the meaning and one is the anarthas. You can pass these out. You'll have to share this. I don't think there's enough to go around. So we'll sing the bhajan. And after the bhajan, we'll go over a few of the meanings. And after that, I'll tell you what the exercise will be, which you can also do in your time. Okay. Does anybody need some copies? Okay, on this side. You can give on this side. They're missing some here. Okay. Yeah, and see if the men have all the copies. Yeah. Okay. So we'll sing this bhajan. It's the morning melody. The first phrase is different. So I'll just sing the first four words, and then we'll sing together. Hari namma tua aneka swara. Now I'll sing the. Now from here you can repeat. Yashoda nandana ananda vardana nandatanaya rasakrupa. Yashoda nandana ananda vardana nandatanaya rasakrupa. Putana katana sinabata hona shatata banjana kapala putana katana sinabata hona shatata banjana kapala morali madana bhagavata matana kavadana tari rakala putati kadana. Keshi Madana, Brahma Vimahana, Sarapati Garbha Vinashi. Keshi Madana, Brahma Vimahana, Sarapati Garbha Vinashi. Arishta Patana, Gopi Vimahana, Yamuna Pulina Vilashi. Arishta Patana, Gopi Vimahana, Yamuna Pulina Vilashi. Radhika Ranjana, Rasa Rasayana, Radha Kunja Kunja Bihari. If you sing, will help you to become freed from all these demons. Now, we'll read a little bit of the meanings. You have another sheet here. It's called Thakurji's Touchstone. So what is the meaning of these names? Murali Vadana, the flute player, Rasa Rasayana, he who performs the Rasa dance, Gopal, maintainer of the cows, Govinda, the one who gives pleasure to the cows, land, and senses, Govardhanatari, lifter of Govardhan Hill, Rama, reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, the all-attractive one, who removes the faults of his devotees and captures or attracts everyone's heart, Hari, who takes away all distress, Madhava, husband of goddess of fortune, Bhutana Gatana, killer of Bhutana, the bogus guru, Trinavartahana, destroyer of Trinavarta. Trinavarta represents useless scholarship, dry reasoning, argument, controversy. Shakatabhanjana, he who broke the cart and killed the Shakata demon. That's a load-carrying mentality born of bad habits, lethargy, dullness, false pride. Agabhagamardana, killer of Aga and Bhagasara, cruelty, violence, trouble to others, born of envy. Bhaka is duplicity, deceptive behavior, hypocrisy. Keshimardana, when you think I am a great devotee, I am guru, false ego. Brahma Vimohana, attachment to karma and jnana. Arishtapatana, cheating religionist, disrespect for pure devotional service. And Kaliya, Shatana, mercilessness, crookedness, pride, and envy. So on the back, you have some prayers on the back of the sheet. So I'll just read a few of these, not all of them. Kaliya Shatana, with its crooked motions and sharp fangs of its wicked desires, the great snake of my mind torments everyone, including me. Someone being tormented by their mind sometimes. This is something we all experience. So the prayer is, O, a powerful Lord, a crusher of Kaliya, please punish the snake of my mind with your dancing. Please place on it the mark of your lotus feet. So the practice, now how to do this practice of removing the demons, this is how it goes. Tonight we won't be able to do the full practice, but I'll tell you what it is. Before you go to sleep, you read Krishna book. You choose one of the stories that represents the anartha that you're having a problem with. If it's Putana, you read the Putana story. If it's Kaliya, you read the Kaliya story before you go to sleep. Then, in the morning, before you chant, you pray to Krishna, please remove this Kaliya from my heart. Please remove this Putana from my heart. And I did this practice, and it works very nicely. I was actually working on Kalia for some time when I was in Mayapur. And what happened to me, every night I was reading the Kalia story, and in the morning I would just pray, please remove Kalia from my heart, this pride. And then one night I had a wonderful dream about Kalia was in my heart, and I could see my heart was like a pincushion, and the snake's coils were all around my heart. But the wonderful thing was that I also saw in my dream that Krishna was in my heart, and we were having a huge festival, because the festival was he was killing the Kalia demon from my heart. So that's what happened to me when I tried this practice. It's a very nice practice. Prabhupada wanted us to read Krishna book, and we were reading Krishna book every night and drinking our milk while we were hearing the stories of Krishna. When I was in Bombay, our milk was, it was, in India it was a big austerity in those days. That was in the 70s. And when we first got there, when we first came to Bombay, we were just living, well, the men had a hut and the women were living on the roof of one of the buildings. And it was very, very difficult. The drinking water was little matka, a mud clay pot, and it was covered, but if you opened the cover, all these mosquitoes would fly out from the drinking water. And we had to drink that. It was the only water. So we were all pretty sick. And I remember the milk at night. We would hear Krishna book, and we would drink milk, and we would take out all the bugs from the milk before we were drinking, because it was like that. There were so many bugs there. But anyway, it's a good practice to read Krishna book at night. Srila Prabhupada said, right before you go to sleep, whatever you do, then you will dream about that. You will dream about Krishna. So now what we're going to do at this point, we're not going to read a whole Leela of Krishna, but we'll just practice the chanting. You choose one prayer on the back that you would like to say, and just read it now, and we'll chant. Right after reading this prayer, we're going to chant. Agamardana, I'm very weak and lazy to do even the smallest devotional service. So when I hear of the first class and austere services performed by great devotees in ancient times, my heart burns with despair. But then when I hear that your waves of mercy splash everyone from Brahma down to the most insignificant creature, my heart is sprinkled with a soothing drop of hope. So these are different prayers here. You can choose one of the prayers and then just meditate on it before you chant. And we'll chant some mantras now also. We'll chant some japa. So this is just to let you experience what the practice is. And this is something that you can do yourself when you chant your japa. Preparing the night before is very important for your japa the next morning. You can also, another thing you can do that is very powerful is before you sleep, you say, you make a determination, or you can just say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to chant with feeling, with a prayerful attitude. And the next morning it will happen. It's a very powerful method, actually, of helping you to experience pure japa by preparing the night before. What you do the night before is very important for what you do when you wake up in the morning, how your practice goes. Okay, so now choose one prayer and just read it. And then we will chant so you get the experience. Okay, does everybody have a prayer? So now, after reading the prayer, you can start chanting. We'll chant a little bit with our meditation on your selected prayer. Praying to Krishna, please remove this anartha from my heart. Thank you very much. So that is, we're at the halfway point now. So before we start the second part of our seminar, the first part we were trying to bring the mind back to the meaning of the holy name, and also to pray for a removal of anarthas. So it was more, we were practicing in our attitude towards chanting. The second part of our seminar will be about the form, meditation on the form. of the Lord. The first meditation will be on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Gaur-Nitai are very merciful in helping us to chant. They don't take any offenses. There are 10 offenses to chanting the holy name of Krishna. But if you meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, those offenses can be removed. And the second, also we'll be meditating at the end on the smiling face of Krishna in this book. So before we start the second part of our seminar, are there any questions that somebody would like to ask at this point? Yes.
How do we struggle with our desire to want to chant at every meeting? Sometimes we struggle at that level.
Okay, struggling with the desire to want to chant attentively. So the best thing is, before you go to sleep at night, you say, tomorrow I will chant attentively. Tomorrow I will desire to chant attentively. And then the next morning it will probably happen. You will have that desire. It's very powerful if you say it before you go to sleep at night. If you make that determination, or if you just even say it, it very likely will happen. Another question? Yes?
Is it too much like to meditate on the meaning of the mantra or on a specific prayers? But when I'm chanting, either I can able to focus on the sound vibration, which I'm just able to hear my...
Okay, that's fine. It's better if you just meditate on the sound vibration. But then a certain point will come when you want to actually improve your feeling toward the holy name. So yes, it's the best thing is just to hear the sound vibration. But then sometimes you're not, if you're unable to hear the sound, if you find yourself struggling with that, then you can make a prayer. Please help me to hear attentively. Please help remove this inattentiveness. So if you're already hearing very nicely, then that's the best thing. You should just hear. If that is your main focus, then that's the best thing. But then if you're finding a struggle with that or a problem with it, then you can pray. And you can do it the night before, so then it doesn't interfere with your chanting. Please help me to hear attentively with a prayerful attitude. Yes?
Just repeating on the meaning of Mahamantra.
Yeah.
According to mantras, and then, you know, just meditating on the prayer to Krishna.
Right. Yeah, they're two different things. You can't think of two things at the same time. So the prayer is meant to be before, not during the japa. The prayer is just to prepare you. You can say prayers before. During japa, you can't meditate on the prayer. But during japa, the meaning of the holy name is possible, because that's what you're saying. You're saying this mantra, and this is what it means. So while you're chanting, you can meditate on the meaning. But if it interferes with your hearing, then it's better just to hear. For some people, we have very active minds, so we can't sit and just hear. So therefore, we think of, okay, Krishna, I am yours, please accept me. In that mood, you may not be thinking the words, but just have that mood of please pick me up. Yes?
So the two things should be the same time, the hearing of the sound vibration at the same time, just meditation on the meaning of the
mind. Meditation, yeah, that is possible. Because the hearing is, of course, it's possible. But if you find a conflict, then just go to hearing. If you find it a conflict. For myself, I find it goes together. That I can hear, at the same time I can have that attitude of, please accept me. Please accept me. Please engage me in your service. I can have that. I can have them both. And we're going to also do that with these things. We're going to see, we're going to meditate on the form of the Lord, at the same time hearing the holy name. So that's another thing where you're doing, the eyes are doing one thing and the ears are doing another. So in this meditation, the mind is doing it, rather than going so many places, it's meditating on the meaning of the mantra. But if your mind is fixed on the hearing, that's very good. That's best. If you can just hear, if the mind is right there saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, that's very good. That's best. Okay, any other? Yes?
Can feeling get in the way?
Can feeling get in the way? Well, if you're feeling for Krishna, then it's not in the way. And Giriraj Maharaj said one thing that I found very helpful in my chanting. that sometimes we have different emotions. That sometimes we're feeling, we're lamenting for something, or we're feeling angry, or we're feeling sad. Just put it into Krishna, in the holy name, when you're chanting. Whatever emotions, especially ladies, sometimes we have a lot of emotions. So just put it in your chanting and see what happens. It won't get in the way if you're trying to reach Krishna with it. If you're saying, okay, Krishna, this is how I am right now. Please accept me. This is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling, but I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing these feelings to you. So you please accept me in this state as I am now. Okay, so I think we'll go on now to our next part of the program. And this will be concentration on Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. Again, we have some things that you can share with each other. We have a prayer, 12 names of Lord Chaitanya, 12 names of Nityananda. And we'll say this prayer before we meditate. And then we have the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, which you can also see up here. And this is a very powerful meditation. You can also meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, Radharani's lotus feet, but Lord Chaitanya is both combined. And so, and he's the most merciful. So therefore, we are going to meditate on his lotus feet. And first we'll say the prayer, we'll say the names. These names are also very, very powerful. And these prayers are meant to be done before you chant in the morning, all these prayers. Nothing while you're chanting or, not during the chanting, but before. And this will help you to concentrate. Okay. You have to share these. Okay. We'll say Nityananda's names first. Nityananda Vatu Tendur Vasudha Pranavallabha Janavi Jivitapati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Nityananda, who embodies eternal bliss, the moon of divine madmen, beloved life breath of Vasudha, husband of Janavi, enthusing her with life, who bestows ecstatic love for Krishna, Lord and Master of devotees. Padmavati Sutta Shriman Sachinandana Purvaja Pavon Matta Jagatrata Gora Kalevara, the dear son of Padmavati, he of Splendor's Transcendental Majesty, older brother of Mother Sachi's son, who is maddened in overwhelming ecstatic emotions, savior of the universe, whose complexion is golden tinged with red. Shri Nityananda Chandrasya, Namadwara Shikam Shubham, Yairam Pratyaham Prata, Pratyutaya Patinara. Person who recites these 12 auspicious holy names of moonlight Nityananda Chandra every day upon arising in the morning, Sakleśarahito Bhutava Praptuyat Swamanodatam Turinam Chaitanya Devasya Karana Bhajanam Bhave. Such a person becomes free from all difficulties and attains all their most cherished desires. Very soon they become the object of Lord Chaitanya Deva's mercy. So turn over 12 names of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya Gauranga Dvijanayaka Yatinam Dandinam Cheva Nyasinam Chashiromani Chaitanya, the living force, all-attractive, supreme living force, of fair bodily complexion, hero amongst the twice-born brahmanas, crest jewel of sannyasis who wander freely, crest jewel of sannyasis who carry staffs, crest jewel of sannyasis who renounce everything. Raktambara tarashiman. Navadipa sutakara. Prima bhakti parascheva. Shri Sachinandanas tata. He who wears red cloth, supremely opulent one, source of nectar, Navadvip, bestower of ecstatic love and devotion, delightful son of Mother Sachi. Dvadashatai tani namani. Chisanyamya patennara. Tasya vancha susiddhi syat. Bhakti shila padam vijay. That person who recites these 12 holy names of the Lord 3 times a day, at dawn, noon, and dusk, will achieve the perfection of all their best desires and will attain pure devotion to the divine lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So now we have our next meditation, the meditation of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So on the front page, there's the picture of the lotus feet, and on the back, there's some of the meanings of lotus feet. I'll just read a few of them. Maybe somebody can come up here and point. Somebody can point to the different marks. Would you like to come up? So we have the upcurving line. You see that line coming up here? This one. It's coming. Yeah, that's the upcurving line. So I'll just read that meaning. Devotees who cling to his feet as if holding onto a lifeline will be transported to the spiritual world. Indeed, they will not fall down. Then a little bit. It indicates the path to his feet, being free of external designation, is very direct. It also reveals his feet can reach down to the lowest of fallen souls and deliver those who have taken shelter of him. So we'll go to the umbrella. You see that? Yeah, there's the umbrella. This mark proves that those who take shelter of his feet are shielded from the incessant rainfall of material miseries. Thunderbolt, it's here. This one. Yeah, that's a thunderbolt. This mark reveals that meditation on his feet smashes to pieces the mountain of his devotees' karmic reactions to past sins. Then discus on that side. No, here. Down. Yeah, that's the discus. That's the discus, the chakra. This mark cuts down the 6 enemies of his devotees, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and bewilderment. It indicates Teja Tattva, the principle of brilliance, by which he destroys the darkness of sin from within his own devotee's heart. Okay, so you have some of the meanings on the back. Are there any of these marks that you would are curious about, that you would like to know the meaning of?
How do you say that line?
That line. Yeah, that's a line coming down.
So what is it called?
That is the upcurving line.
Upcurving.
Yeah, it's on the back. Actually, that line is also sometimes said to be parampara. The parampara delivers us, or even the lowest. Yes? The which one?
The
pole here.
No, the pots.
Pots. Oh, the water pots. Okay. Let's see. His feet hold the golden pitcher full of purely nectarian ambrosia to be freely consumed by the surrendered souls. His feet can pour out nectar that extinguishes the blazing threefold miseries felt by his separated devotees. So that's on the back also. Any other marks that you're curious about that you'd like to know? Yes? Oh, that's a rath. That's a chariot. As a chariot. So that's to carry the chariot of your mind to his lotus feet. He carries the chariot of your mind. Yes? Anything? Any other? So Srila Prabhupada, he gave a lecture and on the marks of Krishna's lotus feet one time. This was 3rd canto, chapter 28, verse 21. And he said, if you meditate on these marks, then all of the dirty things will be kicked out of your heart. And he quoted that verse. It says, Ahata. And Krishna says, get out from your heart if you meditate on these marks on the lotus feet. And Prabhupada said that our heart is very dark. But if we take these marks, if we meditate on these marks, then the darkness will be removed and we will see Krishna, actually. All the dirty things will be removed. So this is another way to remove anarthas. So we'll practice now on this, with this meditation. Take your japa beads and choose. Yes? Yeah. Yes. While we're meditating on the marks, how do we hear the holy name? You see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. So you don't think, you just look and chant and hear the holy name. You just look at the mark with your eyes. You don't have to think anything. You just have to just look at the mark, and the mark will do its work in your heart. And you just hear the holy name, at the same time, see with your eyes. And don't think, just try to hear the holy name. And don't think anything, and the mark itself will do something in your heart. Yes?
Is there any order you want to follow in, you know, just looking at the various symbols from right foot to left foot? Is there any order?
Order, yeah, there is an order. And the order is given here on the first page. If you want to know the order, it starts with a barley corn on the big under the big toe on this foot here. Yeah, you can just point up to that barley corn, and then it goes to the umbrella, then to the line, and then to the staff. No, it's next to the line, and then the lotus, then the mountain down, and then the chariot. And the club, the spear, and then up to the gold. The club and spear are here on the sides of the chair. Then back up to the gold, thunderbolt, and then the altar. Then the earring is down there. And then it goes to the four benediction symbols. That's the swastikas, yeah. Then the octagon in the middle. And then the rose apples. So if you read underneath here, it gives the order. There is an order of meditation. If you want to, you can do parikrama of the lotus feet if you like, in this different order. Either without chanting or while chanting, it might be too confusing to do that. But Mahanidhi Swami does have a meditation where you chant one mantra on each symbol and you go around like that. But that's, I think, would be too confusing for people who don't have a very active mind, or who would just like to hear the mantra, it's better. But if you want to try that sometime, that's also a very interesting meditation, to meditate on the one mark, each mantra, one mark. And then you're doing parikrama of the lotus feet, yeah?
So while chanting, your mind gets absorbed into the symbol, the holy name. Is it true?
You should not do it at the sacrifice of the holy name. Holy name comes first. Always. And if you find yourself getting lost, of course it's not a bad place to get lost, but if you do find yourself getting lost in the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, then go back to trying to hear the holy name. Just stop and you can just look at one symbol, don't just keep moving. I that happens to me sometimes, that I get so absorbed. But at the same time I'm chanting. But many realizations come actually while I do that. But it's better just to hear the holy name. But if sometimes as a teacher, then I need realizations so I can help the students. So that happens during the chanting. Chanting is so powerful because when we chant, we connect with Krishna. And Krishna is the super soul in our heart. And the super soul is a reservoir of all intelligence. So if you ever need more intelligence, just chant your japa very nicely. And you will get all the answers to all your questions, material and spiritual. But if you go the material way, that's not so good. It's better you go the spiritual way while you're chanting. Just hear the holy name. But now we're going to hear the holy name, concentrate on the hearing. At the same time with our eyes, we will just choose one of the symbols. Don't make it complicated. Don't do parikrama right now. But just choose one of the symbols that appeals to you. And we'll chant our japa to that particular symbol. So now we've been working very hard, trying to remove the obstacles and praying for help. So now we will get our reward. We will meditate on Krishna's smiling face. So I have these books. You also have to share these because it was very heavy and we couldn't carry everything. Excess baggage. So, we need to keep one for Achintya Rupa and Aniruddha. Yeah, just give me one. They can share. Yeah, right, I'll keep one for them. So here we have a book. In the beginning, we have a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and there's a blank spot. That's for your particular Guru Maharaj. You can put his picture there. And there's a prayer. I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose causeless mercy I've obtained the supreme holy name. He's offering me the service of the son of Shachimata, shelter of Srila Srupa Damodar Rupa Goswami and his older brother Sanatana Goswami. He's offering me the supreme abode of Mathura, the all-blissful abode of Vrindavan, the divine Radha Kund and Govardhan Hill, and giving me the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Vrindavan. So this book contains pictures of Shama Sundar in Vrindavan, and there's a prayer, or a description, not a prayer, it's a description next to the picture, each picture. So I'll read a few of these. This is image one. The Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. So these are meditations on the pictures. You can read the description before you chant and then look at the picture while you chant. Don't read the description while you chant. That is not good chanting. Before you chant. Everything, prayers and reading, is before you chant. And then while you chant, you can look at the picture. I combined this hearing of the holy name, hearing one mantra at a time, with chanting and looking at my deities, Radha Govinda. And this was about 15 years ago I started this practice. It was my first japa reform. And for 3 months I had constant realizations from chanting the holy name. I wrote a whole book of poetry, and that will be available in the gift shop. There's only a few copies, but I'll put them there in a few days, in a day or so. So it really works. Just hearing the holy name, and at the same time in front of the deities, if you chant in front of the deities. So if the deities are closed during your japa, you can look at one of these pictures also while you chant. Image 4 is Krishna Balaram, dressed in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds. Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing. So I'll read number 7. All glories to Sri Krishna's splendid and fragrant lotus face, where the nose, jaw, lips, cheeks, chin, and ears are glistening petals. The tongue is the wonderful whorl. His handsome teeth are the filaments. His smile is the honey. His eyebrows and curling locks of hair are the black bumblebees, and his eyes are 2 Kanchana birds resting there. And the number 16 is a flower crown and earrings. On his mouth is a smile. In that smile is nectar. In that nectar is a flute, and in that flute is a nectar ocean of music. With the movement of the peacock feather and his red crown, splendid with pearls, he robs the jewels of our hearts and eyes. The splendor of his broad thighs embraces his yellow dhoti, and glistening bells decorate his hips. necklaces of flowers, gold, jewels, pearls, and gunja. Decorate his inconceivably beautiful form. May this broad-chested Gopinath become the goal of our lives. Either today or yesterday, there was a beautiful belt on Vallabha with some flowers hanging down. I don't remember. Was it today or was it yesterday? I don't remember. Huh? Yeah, with flowers, with real flowers. It's such a beautiful belt. So I was remembering that belt. It would go with this flower crown on the last page. So you choose one picture and meditate, just read the description, and then after that you can chant and look at the picture. We also have Giri Govardhan here, Govardhan Hill, on one of the pages, if you're attached to Govardhan, and we have the lotus feet of Krishna also there. So you can just choose one picture, read the description. Those who are sharing might have to make the same choice of pictures. Well, a lot of you got it here. Are you friends with the distributor?
I distributed whatever you gave us.
Okay. That's good. So choose one picture, read the description that's there before you chant, not while you chant. And then while you chant, you can look at the picture. So when you're ready, you can start chanting. Thank you very much. So half of our practice is anartana vritti, trying to remove the obstacles. But the other part is positive attraction to Krishna, artha pravritti. That actually we must get past this anartana vritti and go to the positive. And that is, this is helping us to go to the positive, meditating on the form of Krishna. That will help you to advance to the more positive aspects of chanting. So, do we have any questions or comments on this part of the class? Or anything else? Yes?
Just one question. When you are chanting, and if you say, supposing if you are upset.
If you're upset?
Yeah.
Okay?
About something.
About something, yeah.
So, I mean, if you do chanting that time,
that's the best time to chant. When you're upset about something. Because then you'll be relieved from that, actually. If you completely focus on the chanting, it's a very powerful way to free you from your miseries. But you put that emotion in your chanting, that Krishna, I'm turning to you in my condition of being upset. Now I'm coming to you.
Will he accept?
Yes, he will accept. Especially if you say Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda first, all your offenses are removed. And then you chant Hare Krishna. That Panchatattva Mahamantra has the power to remove all offenses. So say that first and then chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yes?
Doesn't it feel like you're chanting with materialism?
Pardon me?
Doesn't it...
Okay, so his question is, if we come to Krishna and we're upset while we chant or something, does that mean that we're having material desires, coming to Krishna with our material desires? It is recommended that whether you are full of desires or free of desires, you should go to Krishna. Don't go anywhere else. Don't think that your boss at your job is going to fulfill your material desires. He may give you something temporarily, but actually it's Krishna who's giving it. So I've had experience myself that when I come with some emotions, being upset or being angry, and I start chanting, I find that the material side is removed, and then I'm just with Krishna. It helps quite a bit to chant. It's a way of coping, actually, because we have so many problems in this material world. Who are we going to go to for help? Where are we going to go except the chanting? So in the beginning, we'll find, okay, we have these desires and we're coming to the chanting with these emotions. But after some time, we'll find that the emotion changes and it's for Krishna. We're feeling like, sometimes I feel separation from my son. His name is Govinda. So then I just start chanting, And then I start feeling separation for the real Govinda. You know? It works, actually. It really works. But not that you commit the offense of maintaining material desires. But if you don't chant Hare Krishna, how are you going to get free of the material desires? I mean, we have to come as we are. We present ourselves. This is who I am. Krishna, you please accept me and free me from these desires. Let me only desire you. And that time will come. And that time will come. Yes? Yeah. Okay, so if we are following these rules while chanting, how long will it take to chant one round? Well, what I find was, before my japa reform, I was chanting a round in 5 minutes, hour and 20 minutes, I would finish. Then after I started hearing one mantra attentively, I went to 2 hours, which means about 7.5 minutes per round. And I found that's a really good time. If I chant more than 7.5, it means that my mind is... I'm falling asleep or my mind is going somewhere else. I'm distracted, usually. But some people do chant around in 10 minutes, and even 15 minutes. I have a godbrother of mine, disciple of Prabhupada, who is a GBC, and it takes him, I think, 15 minutes around, which is 4 hours. So, but that means you spend a lot of time chanting in your day. Like instead of the regular 2 hours, he's spending 4 hours chanting. So that's very powerful, but if you have the time. But what I found was that I'm chanting for 40 years, so my most attentive chanting has been around 7.5 minutes. And that's the recommendation of Satchinanda Swami, I think also. It's a good average. I think Srila Prabhupada is also around that time, between 7.5, 8 minutes. 7 to 8 minutes. Yes? Right.
And he said that attentive and inattentive chanting takes the same time.
Inattentive and attentive takes the same time.
Yeah, but it's only
okay.
The mind changing.
Okay. Yeah. I find that inattentive chanting takes longer. Because I fall asleep or else my mind is somewhere else. People have different experiences. Sometimes we can do very nicely inattentive chanting at the same time. I find that too. I can be very inattentive in 7.5 minutes as well as 10 minutes. You do have to just always be catching yourself. Bring the mind back to hearing the mantra. And this is in all the levels, even the pure chanting. This first rule is the most important. Just hear the mantra. Bring the mind back to hearing. But sometimes we're so upset we can't hear, you know, so therefore we have to work on ourselves. We can say prayers or we can do different things to help us meditate and bring it back to the level of just hearing. Any other questions? Yes. Oh yeah, this is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. By Sanatan Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's a very famous verse. Satchinanda Swami writes about it in this book, Japa Meditations, and he also uses it in his retreats, this verse. And the verse says that if you follow these rules, japa sampati hetava, your japa will get perfection. You will get perfection in japa if you follow these six rules here. And there are rules. The first one is technique, bringing the mind back. Shocham is a way of life. It's very important what you do during the day. That will affect your japa. So if you're leading a pure life, it'll be easy for you to bring your mind back. If you're meditating on the meaning of the mantra, even you can do it during the day, and that will help to also make your mind silent materially. And then not to be impatient. To give Krishna quality time and be also steadfast. Don't lose hope. Yes?
What about Thursday?
Okay. Yeah. What about the days that you're so busy and you don't have time to chant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one disciple of Prabhupada asked that question. He said to Prabhupada, I work 20 hours a day. I only sleep 4 hours, so I don't find time to chant. When shall I chant? So you know what Prabhupada said to him? Don't sleep. He said, don't sleep. Yeah, so then you can whatever rounds you do chant on that day, you try to go for quality. Don't rush it, but just try for quality. And then the next, when you have more time, like the next day, hopefully, you can focus. You can finish the rounds. And then if you have done it with quality, whatever rounds you could do, then you'll desire to chant more. Because there'll be such a nice round, you'll think, wow, I want to chant some more. And this devotee, Bhaktidas, he took Prabhupada's instructions to heart. And he slept only 2 hours. And he was chanting, working 20 hours. And he was chanting 2 hours. And he was chanting, he would go inside the bathroom, in the shower, turn on the shower, and chant in the shower so he wouldn't fall asleep. And he got the mercy of Prabhupada, actually. One time, he went on a program with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada saw he was very sleepy. So he told him, you just go and sleep, take some rest. So then after about an hour, Prabhupada came in the same room, and there was a twin bed, and Prabhupada went in the bed next to him. So Bhakti got up and he offered obeisances, and Prabhupada said, no, you sleep. And then Prabhupada slept right next to him. So that was because he gave up his sleep for Prabhupada, so Prabhupada came and slept right next to him. And so that was a wonderful reciprocation from Prabhupada. But I don't think we can do that. We cannot imitate these things. Yes.
If you have the deities at home.
You have home deities.
And you do the deity worship first and then you chant the Hodi next.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly you don't have enough time. So what do you do?
Okay, suppose you're doing deity worship in your home. And you also have to chant, but then you have to go to work or something, so you don't have time to chant. So what should you do first? Personally, I do the chanting. And I shorten the deity worship somehow. That's what I do. And then, or else you have somebody else do it if you have, your wife is there or somebody. Let them do it. Let your children, if they can do it, let your children also do it. Delegate it. But don't miss your chanting. If you miss your chanting, then your whole day is, I find, difficult. If I don't chant in the morning, because then it weighs on your consciousness. Oh, I didn't chant my rounds. I have to chant my rounds. The whole day you're thinking of it. Oh, I have to chant. And then it kind of weighs on you. I find it weighs on me. Any other questions?
Do we have to chant one round without breaking the breath?
You mean one mantra?
Yeah.
One round and the whole breath would be very difficult. But I think you mean one mantra. No, you can break it in the middle or wherever you need to. It's okay. Well, it's better if you don't, but sometimes I do because sometimes, you know, it's hard to get all of it in one breath, and then I find that I leave out some words just trying to get, like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, you know, like in one breath. So then I find it sometimes better if I break in the middle, then I get those two Hare Hare's in there, because sometimes they tend to go missing if I do it fast. I find that's what I lose, is the Hari Haris. Because the Ram, Ram, and the Krishna you can hear very well, but if you're the Hari Hari, they kind of go Hari Hari Hari, you kind of miss it. Sometimes if you're trying to get it all in one breath, and you may do it at the sacrifice of some of the mantras, some of the words. Anything else?
Sometimes I'm Krishna, Krishna.
Mm-hmm. So then you have to take Burija and Prabhu's advice when it's not clear. Chant one mantra perfectly. You listen, chant, hear one mantra perfectly means also you have to chant one mantra perfectly. If you're not chanting it perfectly, what are you going to hear? So then you concentrate on chanting.
If the pronunciation is not correct, then you should repeat that word again.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Repeat that mantra.
The whole mantra?
Mm-hmm, the whole mantra. How are you just going to say Krishna, Krishna? You've got to say the whole mantra. Of course, if you're in ecstasy, you may say Krishna, Krishna. But so tomorrow we're going to be deepening our relationship with Srila Prabhupada's books. I would like each of you to bring one book tomorrow to the class. Any book, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita. Bring one book. We'll be doing an exercise with the book. Everybody needs their own book. We're not going to share on the books. And we'll also be doing a very mystical exercise where we will be asking, each of us will be asking a personal question to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and you'll be getting a personal answer to that question. So come tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Try to bring a book, if you can remember. It can be a big book or a small book, Prabhupada's book. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And you can keep these materials. They're for you to keep.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.